Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You also might be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast feed. This is the Gilcast with myself, Davis Maddock. I am here with Nate Noling. I am here with Sammy Reed. Sammy and I tried to bail from the show today. We didn't want to do it. Nate ran good with the 2v2 action. I actually think all of our teams are justifiable today. But yeah, Sammy, we got smoked. So funny. I swapped, so I scored 117.28 and you scored 117.58. So the last 2 weeks you and I have been separated by about 0.8 points, and Nate top of the standings this week with a 148.08. But Nate, games were like kind of high scoring today. Like what was the cash line in the massive $50 double up, Nate?
I actually don't know. Let me look. I mean, I wasn't close. I wasn't even sweating it.
I can pull it up too.
Yeah. I wasn't even sweating it.
Yeah. I mean, you played Cooper Kupp, and Sammy and I did not play Cooper Kupp. So no reason for you to sweat. So I guess we've been going through the full lineup before we start. So Sammy and I played Lamar Jackson, Khalil Herbert, Daryl Henderson Jr., Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins, Ricky Seals-Jones, and the Lions defense. Sammy kept Hunt in because he's a fish and didn't put him in the flex.
No, so I actually did swap to Josh Jacobs in some contests.
And I swapped to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but
Sammy, you broke the number one rule of putting an early player in your flex.
Yeah, I mean, let's get total fish move, bro. Like I was. No excuses. Like I was traveling back from Hawaii. It was a tough scene. I was throwing stuff together and I just overlooked it and I blew it. So yeah. What are you going to do?
And then
yeah,
Nate,
I mean,
what you played versus us was a 3v3. You played DeAndre Swift, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks over Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, and Khalil Herbert. So I want to just get this up front. Well, two things. First, I don't know how you guys were feeling. I felt pretty bad this morning because like the last 3 weeks, I basically woken up and been like, yeah, this is the team and I'm going to play that. But like, I was still swapping stuff around like 30 minutes before. And like, I couldn't really decide. So I don't have harsh words for even people who lost this week, who beat me with bad plays. Like, I don't know. It did not feel like a straightforward week to me at all. Like I felt like there were a lot of options I thought there were five lineups you could have played, I think.
I mean, I'll just say this. I kind of felt the same way where I was not locked in as we have been in previous weeks, but I paid up for Lamar Jackson. Like paid up for quarterback in a spot where there are multiple dope ass receivers. That cost me Cooper Kupp and I lost because of it. And what I really wanted to do was like play two high priced receivers and like Taylor Heineke.
No, Lamar is not why you didn't play Kupp. The
Sammy,
Kupp team was very easy to play.
No.
Yeah. No, the Kupp team was easy to play. Lamar was not a bad play. Like this was ultimate run bad for Lamar. Ultimate run bad for Lamar.
Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell scored rushing touchdowns.
Dude. Oh, the dust fecta of rushing touchdowns was just
they all three scored rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Even if they didn't, Lamar was like 40% owned in cash. And no, it was
because he was a good play.
Yeah, but Lamar,
because he was a good play.
Yeah, but you're not listening to me. Lamar was the reason, if you paid down at quarterback, that you could have two high-priced receivers, right? Because the thing is, if you go down from Lamar to Heinicke and it gets you, like, that doesn't do much for me in the other spots, except for wide receiver too.
No, like, dude, that, this your logic is ass backwards.
Is mega bad. Now. This is real bad.
You're not looking at the right swap. The right swap with our team, Sammy, was two expensive wide receivers instead of Devontae and a mid-price wide receiver. DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp was a perfect 2v2 for Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen. That, if you really wanted Cooper Kupp, that's what you should have played. Or you could have played Keenan Allen anyway and just paid up at defense, because we all played a terrible defense.
Yeah, well, I the way I've made money in cash games is not paying up at defense and not paying up at tight end and not paying up at quarterback.
The Browns.
Oh my God. I mean, we could have played the Browns. I mean, here's the reality though, is I did have a lineup with Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp that I was fooling around with, and I didn't do it because I'm a mentally weak cuckle suck. And
no, what your Heinicke was a straight up bad cash play. Like, Heinicke was, I would have rather made other sacrifices and played Mahomes or played Herbert. Like, he would have been like the fifth quarterback I would have played in cash, probably.
Cause I yeah. probably would play Stafford. Sammy, I think too. You might be mentally weak because of the fact that you got off of a team that you liked better, but you're not mentally weak because you played a bad play. Like, Lamar was the right play.
Obviously, Lamar was a good play. Like, clearly he was. I'm not talking about the play in a vacuum. I'm talking about roster construction. And at some point, I sacrificed what I wanted to do, like a wide receiver two I felt great about, which was Cooper Kupp, for a quarterback. And at the end of the day, like, the
Sammy, like 90% of the time I'm with you, but you are like, and most of the time I'm disagreeing with Nate, but you're straight up wrong, dude.
Dude, just yeah. let me be results oriented here.
The 2v2 is so clear with the team that we played. Like, it's so obvious. It was Kupp and DJ Moore over Adams and Keenan Allen. It's staring you in the face, dude.
Yeah, I got it.
You don't need to get off Lamar. Lamar was not the problem.
I got into this weird space because I didn't think that Kupp was that much worse than Adams at all. I just didn't know what to do with the extra money, because I was like, well, also Keenan Allen's not that much worse than Cooper Kupp. And I mean, Keenan Allen, just like, dude, he's like Beavis. He just never scores. He never scores. And it's just so brutal. And this was like the nut run out for him, and he still got fuck all. And it's just like, dude,
Keenan, yeah, that's the thing about the Keenan run out was perfect. I mean, dude, was it the news of Mike Williams that got you on Keenan? Like, how banged up he was?
No, I've liked Keenan for a couple weeks because he's in the low to mid 6,000s, yeah, and he's getting 10 targets every week.
Guys, has Keenan ever once in the history of this fucking show worked out for me though? Has there ever been a time where I play Keenan in cash where I disregard all my principles and I'm like, you know what? I'll just play this dusty, slow, no touchdown scoring ass wide receiver. I mean, I literally think every time I've played him, it's been one of his worst games of the season.
And every time you faded Cooper Kupp, you've gotten financially ruined, right?
Dude, Kupp literally dunks on you.
God, a second week we could have dusted Davis, Nate, by playing Cooper Kupp, and he's the only one who didn't. I blew it for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, Sammy, you blew it by playing the same lineup.
Yeah.
You blew it by playing the same lineup. It's not fun when we flop and you two donks have the same lineup. Like, I wish it was a bad lineup that I could dunk on because I won by, I think, 30 points or something like that. And I want to dunk hard, but really, you guys didn't have a bad lineup. It was just, you guys freaking played the same team.
Devontae Adams sucks ass, and which is just crazy. I mean, watching Alan Lazard score touchdowns is just like so tilting.
The shovel pass touchdown. I'm just like, last year, that is straight up. They call that to Adams every time. Like, Adams gets that 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So the Devontae thing was clear run bad, but I do think there was an actual process thing about Devontae here that I want to talk about, because I think too often with Devontae, we get kind of fixated on his like individual metrics, like his target share, his whopper, his like his usage of that off. But the team he's on is a slog of a team. They don't want to, they will run down the clock. And then in this matchup with Chicago not pushing them, like, this should have totally been in a range of outcomes for Devontae to be in a, not in an individual bad play, because he still has all of his individual metrics look great. Like his target share, his hog rate, everything looks the same. It's just, these games are going to happen for Green Bay when they go up against a bad team like Chicago that also plays slow and doesn't want to pass the ball. Like, yeah, well, at $9,000.
How fast did the New York Giants play? And what kind of game script did the LA Rams have against them? And Cooper Kupp still got his.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference. LA is always going to be a high pass rate above expectation and like continue to pass the ball until the end of the fourth quarter. No matter, it's 35-3 and they're out there throwing the ball on three. Like,
yeah, Cooper Kupp scored a touchdown when they were up 30.
Yeah, that's never going to happen with Devontae. I mean, Devontae Adams, they're literally just going to run the ball. I mean, at 35-3, Devontae is out of the game.
They go to Quadzilla. They go to Quadzilla. When it gets there, it goes to AJ Dillon. I mean, well, I don't feel bad about playing Devontae. I guess I'm more the thing I actually feel bad about is that I didn't find a way for Travis Kelce to get in my team, because the team that that Wiggins played and the team that I think Levitan played was a 2v2 or a 3v3 from us, Sammy, where they played double tight end and they didn't play Khalil Herbert. So like
Khalil Herbert, who is easily the best value play on the slate. Yeah. And I mean, just so bad. And Nate didn't.
That was why this week was so difficult, because I obviously thought Khalil Herbert was a great play. Like I said it all. I'm not fading Khalil Herbert. It's just like with him and Devontae, because if you play Khalil Herbert, you are playing Devontae. Like to play Khalil Herbert and not Devontae would have been like just some bizarro construction that I couldn't envision. But playing both of them, I thought lowered your floor because of the correlation to just a slow paced game that might have the lowest plays run. And that was my issue with Khalil. It wasn't him in a vacuum. He was obviously a better value play than Swift. It was just that like combining them both. And then also we had the double tight end was a legitimate play in cash this week, where I can't remember the last time that was a legitimate like option to build. That's why cash games this week were so weird, because it was like, there was five or six running backs that you could play that I don't think was bad. And then you could also put out double tight end construction that I don't think was bad. We've never had that much of a variety of a way to build lineups
I think that like, that leads me to two conclusions. One, which was the edge was not very big this week and it would have been a week to de-risk a little bit. But then also that it maybe if I would have been playing enough to like sweat it, I probably would have split the Kelce, RSJ, Kupp, Keenan, like 3v3. Like
Nate,
that seems best.
Nate, why didn't you play like Herbert instead of Swift? And then pay up at one of your other wide receiver spots instead of Cooks or Higgins.
That is what I would have done. I mean, I don't hate what Nate did.
The other build I was looking at was obviously Khalil over Swift, and then getting up to Devontae and then Brown's D. So it was basically Khalil. It basically came down to a 2v2 of Khalil and Devontae versus Kupp and Swift. And like I said, I don't think that Devontae was 4 points better than Kupp. And I thought that Swift projected better than Khalil raw points wise. And I didn't like the correlation that I was getting with Devontae and Khalil. I didn't see a lineup of like DJ Moore, Kupp.
Yeah, that's what Khalil. That's what you,
like
that's
I, what I
you
could.
That's what you should have done, though. I think that's way better than
I. I didn't. I felt good about my build.
I'm not trying to. Like propose counterfactuals. I'm just saying I would not have, there's no lineup I considered where I wouldn't have played Herbert. I think I thought he was the best cash player.
In a vacuum, he was a great play. It was just the way that what it did to the rest of the lineup. Like if I could have played four running back, or if I would have just played the best three running backs, I would not have played Swift. I would have played.
Who's the Bears play like, next week?
I don't know. The Khalil thing was like,
no, they play at the Buccaneers, so we don't have to play Herbert next week. It's fine.
Yeah, Nate, actually, you could have played Kelce.
No, I know. I looked at a Kelce build. I didn't like the two tight end in cash though.
This is like one of the first times I've ever wished Kelce was just at wide receiver. So I could have, you could have just played him at, you played RSJ at tight end. Yeah. You just play Kelce at wide receiver so you can get the max running back.
No, I had this build before the Herbert news, like before Damian was ruled out. I think I had this build on Wednesday, and then I built all the Khalil's teams. And then I came back to this build this morning where I was just like, I just like this better. So I almost waffled on it. I think at like 5 minutes before lock, I was like texting Cardi, like, dude, do I need to get on Khalil?
Dude, Mike,
and he was like, yes.
What do we do? What do we do without Mike Davis?
And he was, and so I just stayed true. And I don't know. I think Cup is Cup's a boss, obviously. And I think the Rams are just a more pass heavy team.
Cardi played our team with a better defense than Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I want to dunk on you guys, but I can't. Like, your team was good. And so there really isn't a dunk.
Yeah, I want to dunk on you too, but your team was pretty good. This sucks.
And it's like the fifth time in a row I beat you guys. So that's kind of the hard part.
Oh my God. This is why I don't want to do this show anymore.
I keep forgetting Nate had the correct or whatever, the late swap.
The stat correction.
You got dunked on 2 weeks ago. You lost and Sammy and I had the nuts 2 weeks ago.
I think I'm 5-1 on you guys. I think Davis, you beat me once.
I hate this so much. This is so bad.
I know. It's the frustrating thing is like I'm not crushing in tournaments, so it's just in cash games, and it's not as like my tournament teams are real bad. I had way too much Antonio Gibson.
I had a really good tournament team. Actually, all my teams were good other than my Chargers Ravens team, which I mean, I just need a second to espouse this. Fuck the Ravens, dude. Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman, and Le'Veon Bell all scoring a touchdown for the same team in the same game in 2021 is so absurd. If you just give Lamar one of those, much less two of them or three of them, right? Because none of those guys deserve to get touches. And two of them, not Devonta Freeman's was actually like I don't want to say like a good run, but like it was from like 10 yards out and he like made a guy miss. But the Latavius Murray and the Le'Veon Bell ones in particular.
Oh, the Le'Veon Bell one. I mean, fat Nate after like his Taco Bell binging a couple years ago.
Yeah, like 22-year-old Nate scores that touchdown.
Oh my God.
It was so bad.
Lamar screwed it all up. Like he missed a wide open Andrews for a touchdown. Then Hollywood Brown dropped one. I mean, it could have gone totally different, but it just didn't.
Hollywood is, I mean, he's going to set like one of the all-time records for unrealized fantasy points, like at this level. Oh, that was one thing. I don't even know what Hollywood ended up with, Nate, but in your lineup, I would have played Hollywood over Cooks, and Wiggins told me that was bad.
That was bad. You said that Cooks was not a good play. I don't think you realize like Cooks is literally the same like weapon for Houston that Devontae and Cups are. I mean,
he's
every single look, but it doesn't matter. He's going to get 11, 12 targets and 150 air yards at 6K or whatever. I mean, he's
in the dome. Like Cooks was a good play, and people, he was getting a lot of helium late in the week, and there's a reason why. And that's the reason why.
I mean, Cooks was in our optimal. I just would never have the way I would play, I would just always play Hollywood over him.
Okay. How could you ever play Hollywood Brown in cash? Like he is not a cash play ever.
That would have been a bad play, Davis. Yeah, that would have been a really bad play.
Yeah.
This like is, have
if
him.
If I would have played him in cash, he would have caught that touchdown. It would have been fine. Actually, probably would have been better for the show if I would have played your lineup with Hollywood over Cooks. And I would have had to have tried to justify this decision.
Yeah, it would have been better. But I mean, Cooks is like, I mean, third on the week in air yards. He had 13 targets for 165 air, like, and he's 6K. And it's like, that wasn't an outlier game.
Hollywood's getting lots of air yards and stuff. He just doesn't have the same raw volume.
Yeah, and his are a little more.
Plus Watkins was out.
Yeah, but Bateman was in, baby.
So let me ask you
this. No, Marquise Brown had 5 targets on the week. No. Don't even compare.
Well, obviously he only had 5 targets. The Chargers scored like a half a point, dude. Lamar threw 27 times.
No, you cannot compare Hollywood Brown to the guy who's going to like basically Hollywood has top three Whopper.
Hollywood has more fantasy points than Cooks does.
If you look at the game logs, Nate, Hollywood has been scoring a lot of points, and Brandon Cooks hasn't.
Yeah, so he scores Hollywood. A lot of points because Hollywood will always be lower volume, but he will always have way higher efficiency stuff than a Texans wide receiver.
That's why you play him in tournaments, Davis.
Yes, you're making the argument against yourself.
Yeah, well, but like, the guy never gets.
I did play him. I did play him in tournaments, and it did not go particularly well.
Yeah.
So did you? I'm trying to think of any other like. There weren't really any other decisions in cash games though. Like it was are you going to go double tight end?
It was Cup, RSJ.
Shepherd, I guess. Did you guys consider Shepherd after the New York news with
Wiggins? Wiggins told me that he was, but I was looking at it and I was like, I'm pretty certain they're not going to play him in the slot because Tony is going to play in the slot. They come out in the first drive. Shepherd's playing outside. Tony has three receptions on the first drive and then breaks his ankle.
He's out.
And so Shepherd, I think, got like 14 targets or whatever, but I did not consider him, no.
We should probably talk about the T thing because I do think
it's
like the same thing with the T thing is a little bit like he is good. Like at his price, he's a great value because like I mean he's a 6K plus wide receiver who's priced at 5K, but it's similar to like the volume is just not there. And I think Shepherd might have been a better play than T when you just consider the fact that the Giants are gonna throw like way more than Cincinnati on a week-to-week basis. And I don't know. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is like clearly the alpha there.
Yeah.
The T thing is like a weak volume at 5K. Yeah. Which means T might be weak.
Joe Burrow has over 30 passing attempts two times.
Yeah. That's concerning.
That's not enough. And they like to throw it to their running back.
Not going anywhere. They're throwing to Evans. They're throwing to Mixon. They're throwing to Uzama. Like it started out the year, the first three games of the year, Minnesota, Chicago, Pittsburgh, the target tree was super narrow, super condensed. And now they got Uzama playing in there. Mixon had his career high in targets today. And Chris Evans got a touchdown.
Yeah. And he's running routes. It's not like there's upside there. I mean, he's out there as much as anybody. So I do think T. Higgins might be someone that I have to start considering because he's going to pop in optimals all the time. But I do think his floor is lower than we're realizing just because Cincinnati doesn't need to throw.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess what I would say is that I will be a little bit less like when I was talking to you guys this morning, I was, T is a lock. And like, I don't know if I'll say that. For the rest of the season, I will probably consider that Ja'Marr Chase is the clear, like T. Higgins is the Robert Woods of the Cincinnati Bengals. Like he'll get there sometimes, but he's not going to get there that often.
Yeah. I think,
Woods,
I mean,
Woods, we could have played Woods in our lineup and it would have been fun. It would have been fun.
We're following the projections on T. Higgins, but you know, the projections will sometimes.
Well, the projections are going to be adjusted after another week of sampling now of all three of the wide receivers being healthy and him being dominated by Ja'Marr Chase. Well, I mean, not dominated, but they all got six targets. I don't know. I mean, maybe he is fine.
Maybe the answer is just no Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe that's.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a specific T issue. It's that Cincinnati doesn't want to throw. Yeah, it's like same thing with Devontae and the Packers. Like they're just these offenses are separating themselves. When you look at like the way that Cincinnati plays, the way that Chicago plays, the way that Green Bay plays versus the way that like some of these teams like the Chargers or the Rams or these like Tampa Bay, Kansas City, like the pass volume is so consistently there every single week, regardless of game script, regardless of score, regardless of anything, that like these guys have a higher floor and a higher ceiling just because they play on a sharp team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that T is also the type of play where like, yeah, if he was locked into this insane target volume every week, he'd probably be like 6,800. So sometimes you eat 4 for 30 or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know what the thing is about T. Higgins is that he still had more targets than Keenan Allen, even though the Chargers threw the ball 39 times.
I mean, there's nothing to be gained from this Chargers performance today. There literally is nothing to be gained. They were out-coached, they were outplayed, and by the third quarter, they were just not trying anymore.
Dude, I hate Keenan Allen. I hate Keenan Allen.
I hate him too. He's my least favorite guy in the NFL.
Like, the man has no nose for the end zone at all. How does he only get 5 targets? It is
true that even though Mike Williams is just now fantasy relevant, he already has a season with more touchdowns in a season than Keenan has ever had. Keenan's never had more than 8. Mike Williams had 11 when he was 22. And Mike Williams, I think, already has 6 this year, which would be the second most that Keenan's ever had in his career.
Yeah, Keenan Allen he's sucks. He's a loser. I'd rather play a tight end.
I'd rather put on my pocket protector and my glasses and play Brandon Cooks with Nate and Cardi than play Keenan Allen again. I mean, I am just so sick of this guy.
Like, all the guy does is like run little slants and fall over, and every once in a, I mean, just,
and you can't run slants and fall over against. I mean, this Chargers thing, dude. Like, what are they doing? They get blown out in this game. This is not a serious football team. Like, I am like, the people are going to be touting the Chargers. Like, they're going
to,
whoever.
I'm playing Keenan now. I'm going to have to play Keenan now. All this shade on a guy who normally gets really high volume, like on 1 week doesn't get great volume.
Oh my God.
And you guys are off of them.
The Chargers play home to the Patriots next week. They're going to like win by 25 and people are going to be like, they're back. They're ready to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if Keenan's price drops, I'm going to be on him in cash, and I'm going to dunk on you guys when he puts up a 20 price.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Belichick likes to take away the other team's top option, which may leave Keenan Allen wide open many times.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you got to guard Josh Palmer and Jalen.
Yeah, you got to guard Palmer. You got to guard Mike Williams, Parham. You know, they're just going to guard everybody but Keenan Allen, because who cares what Keenan Allen does? All he's going to do is catch the ball and fall over.
Guys fancy Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Oh.
No, this Keenan shade is going too far.
Julian Edelman without the hardware.
Hey, how tilted were you that you didn't get that Jalen Waddle 2-touchdown, like 9 reception game in cash last week?
Oh, my God. Just unbelievable, so man. I think I played Jalen Waddle 2 in cash now. And,
it's so funny too, because I played Shenault last week, so they were both in that game, and Waddle is like crushing it, and Shenault is like, people are like taking to Twitter to be like, you got to cut him. The Jags have to cut him. He's terrible.
Didn't he get like 11 targets? Shenault got a ton of work.
Yeah, he got 10. What people were responding to is he had one fairly bad drop, like one Deontay Johnson-esque drop.
Got it. Yeah, he had 10 targets in this game.
Yeah. All right, let's do tournaments. So I played I did 3 different teams this week. One was a Dak double stack that min cashed. One was a Lamar Jackson double stack, because I was so excited, because a competitive game against the Chargers, they can't run, right? Latavius Dust, Le'Veon Dust, Devonta Dust.
Makes sense.
Did not work out. And then I said all week I wasn't going to do this. I said on the Swolecast that I wasn't going to do it, but I did. I played the Patrick Mahomes double stack with a bring back, but I did it. My thinking was that you actually could get away with it if you did not play Travis Kelce. So as long as you didn't play Kelce, I actually thought that you could get yourself into some pretty unique stuff.
So you definitely played McColl. Right.
I did. I played McCole Hardman. He got 9. Tyreek got 22. But I'm going to keep it 100 with everyone. The only way this lineup would work was if I had a minimum priced wide receiver. So I played DeAndre Carter from the Washington football team. Basically.
Wait, that was your bring back?
Yeah. I mean, I had to play a minimum guy. And
was Deani not min?
I think he was like 3,400. Yeah. But basically, I just thought that those guys would rotate a little bit. Honestly, I don't know if DeAndre Carter played a snap, but I purposely faded Kareem Hunt on this lineup. This was the theory behind this one. So I played the Cardinals defense and I played Odell. It scored 161 and min cashed in the spy and in the red zone. Cause it had Jonathan Taylor and Joe Mixon, and those guys combined for like a bazillion.
Man, how good of a play was Jonathan Taylor? Like,
two carries in the first half didn't feel that tight.
No, sure, no, it wasn't. Sure didn't. Yeah.
But, you know, he ended up with like 160 yards and two touchdowns. He just did Jonathan Taylor things in a spot where you expected him to do them.
So looking at this team, I actually think it's pretty bad. So two things were really bad. One, if you had to, I mean, I don't know if you guys played them. What do you think the single entry ownership was for the Chiefs guys?
It was like above 20% on Tyreek and like 30% on Kelce, right?
Yeah. So it was really high. So Mahomes was 18%. That's like really high for a quarterback. You like never see that for quarterbacks. And then Tyreek was 18%. But what was even weirder was McColl was 18.5%. So 18.5% owned McCole Hardman is terrible.
That's really bad. Because everyone wanted to stack the Chiefs, and he's the obvious like big play guy that gets some work and is cheap. Yeah.
So I had a couple Chiefs double stacks in small fields because I actually think there was so much discussion this week around like you can't double stack Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek because I don't remember who had the stat. I think it's like one time in the past 17 games.
Yeah, they never get there together.
But in single entry, if you play single entry in your small fields, like under 1,000, like you don't need the nuts. If you have Mahomes, if you have Tyreek, if you have Kelce, and they all put up 30 points, 25 to 30 points, and then you hit on some of the other spots in your lineup, you're okay. And so I actually did go with the Mahomes double stack with Tyreek and Kelce, and I didn't feel bad about it because my bring back was Antonio Gibson, who all of the ownership projections I saw had him like single digit under 5%, and he ended up being 3% owned. And so that double stack was actually something that I felt comfortable with the bring back of Gibson.
Okay.
So that was how I actually felt.
I got to be 100 with you. I think Gibson was really bad, not in a vacuum, but because the running back spots were too valuable today.
But from a Kansas City, like if McKissick doesn't get all those passing touches, if McKissick sprains an ankle or anything.
You should just play McKissick.
A 3% owned and a 3% owned Antonio Gibson that gives you access to the Chiefs stack in a way that you know you're going to have like unique, but and that upside kinda, was like an easy
out because they were leading at half. So like if they had a couple drives where they were trying to just burn clock or whatever, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say it's bad. It's just, I thought of that angle and I was like, that does not feel GTO to me. It feels like the right way to do it was actually just no bring backs from the Washington football team.
Yeah. I mean, after looking at the way this game,
well, hey, your bring back was better than mine. My bring back got cucked by De'Ami Brown.
Yeah. So I had a ton of Antonio Gibson. I had Antonio Gibson in every one of my single entry teams, and it was that dusted me.
That is a mistake, dude. You don't play him on every one. He's like a sprinkle play.
I only had three single entry.
Yeah, I had three single entry teams too. And the only guy I played on all of them was – I didn't play – I played Jonathan Taylor on all of them. That is the type
of guy. JT was your Gibson. Was your Gibson. So, I mean, ultimately those projections are –
But compare Alexander Mattison last week to playing Gibson in all of your lineups this week. It's like those are decisions you should be handling differently, I think.
I think it's okay to have specific spots where you pick high leverage opportunities that you
like. If you are really wanting to press that leverage, but Gibson was like, what, like the 18th best running back play or something like that on a slate where there was like really nutted out running back plays.
That's where I disagree. I think Gibson had a 25 point ceiling here at single digit ownership if the game goes off and he and the best one of the most talented players on Washington gets opportunities, like Chiefs defense is.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not talented. What I'm saying is that in the context of all of the individual decisions you're making, he was like I mean, way worse than like Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, like those guys. But then even like, then compare him to like in a vacuum, the value guys of Darrell Williams and Khalil Herbert, like you probably wanted to play like one of those guys, right?
I have Gibson like roughly a point and a half away from Taylor from a ceiling projection standpoint. They were very similar plays.
No,
they were very similar plays, and one was going to be 3% owned.
I'm not disagreeing with your projection. I'm disagreeing with your distribution of the way you played him. Not disagreeing. I'm just saying I wouldn't have done it. I'm just saying that I have to have a lot of conviction to play a running back on all of my single entry action.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm trying to find those spots where I feel really good about leverage.
All of your teams, Chiefs teams?
I pretty much put a stake in the ground that Kansas City, Washington was going to be spread throughout all three of my teams. So one was a Mahomes team, one was a Heineken team, and then one was a Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard's skinny stack.
Man, Daniel Jones. Tough. Very tough.
Yeah, that was a brutal one.
Yeah, I think in the Gilcast red zone, I did a Cowboy stack with a New England bring back. So I did Dak double stack with Schultz and CeeDee Lamb, and I brought it back with Jacoby Myers. I did eat the chalk with Kareem Hunt at running back, and I also played the mentor.
So we have not talked about Kareem Hunt and GVP yet. And I guess this is interesting because I want to go back to the Dallas stuff in a second.
Okay. So I'll just finish out. I played Kareem Hunt, and then I played the mentor Damian Williams at the other running back spot. I thought he was a really nice pivot play off of Herbert, and then also leverage off the chalky Chiefs. And that ended up being a really good play.
Yeah. Mentor's so good.
Yeah. I did play Cooper Kupp in this lineup. I also played a Davis Matt-esque, DeAndre Carter-esque Zach Pascal in this lineup. He scored a goose egg, and the Browns defense, they got -2. This lineup scored 164.9 and did 3x in this tournament, which was great. Obviously,
I just realized I said earlier that the 161 min cash, but I didn't mean that. I mean basically min cashed.
It 3x'd, which is fine, but certainly I ran good to get there.
We'd love to give people a bonk. Like we would love to deliver a bonk. So
yeah,
before we talk about the Cowboys, so the thing with Hunt was, it's interesting that basically none of us, you played him on one. I didn't play him in any.
I played him on one of my three.
I mostly played in on my tournament teams. I mostly played Jonathan Taylor in the Kareem Hunt spot.
I was with that as well. So the reason why it's interesting is Hunt projected way better than Madison did last week in terms of raw points, right? So, I mean, Hunt was like, depending on, I think we had him for like 22, 23. And we had Madison for like 19 or 20. And the same was true with the blended optimals. Hunt just projected for a lot of points.
I don't remember what my Madison projection was last week, but I'll tell you my like optimal ownership for Madison was like nearly 100%. Where my optimal ownership for Hunt was nowhere near that. Hunt to me was not even in the same realm.
No,
as
that's
a good play.
That's what I'm saying is interesting, because I mean, we all just made that decision basically that Hunt, despite being in like this nut spot, is like they're at home. Arizona had like three of their coaches missing with COVID. The total of that game went down like 4 points.
And yeah, we actually should have known that was a positive for Arizona, that Kingsbury would not be around.
They blew them out. They blew them out with no Kingsbury. So, and I think that honestly, I'm wondering if it's like kind of like some reverse fish logic that got us there. Because remember how goddamn bad Hunt was in all those games where Chubb missed last year?
Buddy, it is the fish logic. It was. I'm just like, has Kareem Hunt ever gotten there when Nick Chubb is out? Never.
He never
gets there. He's such a beta.
and I if if I like, I was watching or I was following the game pretty closely. I don't think any other running back even got a carry. I don't think D'Ernest Johnson got a carry.
They were on the field though. I was watching the game. Like, yeah. I'd be interested to see.
Well, he got hurt in the end, right? He got a calf injury in the end. Yeah. So one carry for D'Ernest Johnson, one carry for Anthony Schwartz on like a reverse or whatever. Demetric Felton was targeted twice. D'Ernest Johnson was targeted once. Three targets so, front. But yeah. I mean,
but that's the thing, like raw projection doesn't matter without the context of the slate. The reason that last week Madison was so like far and above is because there was nobody near him that could touch his ceiling. Where in this, you have Kareem Hunt, Darrell Henderson, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon that are all, and even Gibson is within 2 to 3 points of that ceiling, where there was nobody within reach of Madison's ceiling last week at his price tag. So that's why I think this week Hunt didn't have to be like, I think last week it was pretty clear. You either play like 100% Madison or 0%. Hunt this week, I thought you could play him in some and not play him in others. Like it didn't need to be as much of a leverage spot because I didn't think it was as clear of a play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Plus the fact that Kareem Hunt never gets there. So put those things together and it's just, you know, easy fade for the most part. I think this was probably the only tournament lineup I played Kareem Hunt in. And if I had had the extra $400, you know, if I had been able to get off Zach Pascal and go down to somebody else, I could have just gotten in John Taylor instead.
Yeah.
If I would have played any other running back other than Gibson, I would have had a good day. If I would have like had Mixon, Taylor Swift, or any of these other guys that all project within a point, I would have been just fine. Oh,
should just play the mentor, bro. Should just play the mentor. The mentor was like the play. Like I just thought he was like the best GPP play on the slate because everybody was going so heavy on the passing game. And he's basically, I mean, CEH sucks.
Chiefs, like, oh my freaking God, dude.
But he was projected for like 15% ownership. But Williams was projected for like 15% ownership. Like he wasn't projected to be not owned. Like he was a good play, but at his ownership, I don't think he was like the smash play in tournaments.
No, he wasn't the smash. He was just very good, you know? It's 4.9. I mean, Khalil Herbert was going to be owned in the other – in the Chiefs
pass. Yeah, the smash play in tournaments was Cook. Cook was the smash play. Yeah. I mean, Cook at under 10% ownership when we knew he was going to get this workload, like,
yeah.
I should have had 100% – he should have been my guy. Ugh, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Tournaments
like,
are hard.
It feels like if you tell me that Khalil Herbert gets 100% of the carries and 12% target share, I probably play him a bunch in tournaments.
Yeah.
Like I was expecting some Ryan Nall action or whatever, and there was none.
Yeah. I actually did have a Dalvin, Damian Williams, Jonathan Taylor team, but it got ruined by Kadarius Toney. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah.
Tough. On tough Toney. Scene.
I mean, I am. My most of my strategy this week revolved around that Ravens Chargers game resembling Chargers Browns, and it just simply did not. Like, what were the Chargers doing? Like, what happened?
I wonder if it was just like a hangover from such a great game last week. Like, I don't know. It was a weird game.
I mean, Herbert played terrible, and they like didn't convert any third downs or fourth downs. It was
fourth downs. They did their fourth down thing and they just didn't convert them, and then Baltimore
Lamar bailed them out and got field goals like twice after that.
Nah, I know it was an uncharacteristic. I mean, this was the Chargers have been so good all season, and Staley is obviously a real sharp coach. The things that he says, the way he handles his games, like they've been super good, and this was just a game where, you know, it's a 17 game season. Every once in a while, teams fall flat on their faces, and this was just one of those games. I don't know how else to chalk it up.
Well, the Chiefs just fall flat on their face like once every quarter at this point. It's like
they just fall flat on their face for a full half every game, and then end up winning by like 18.
I wonder if Andy Reid is just like not a good coach anymore.
Yeah. What are the Chiefs? They're
3-3, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, Nate. Yeah. What do you think?
Tough
you
scenes.
Out on Andy Reid?
Tough scenes. No. I'm not out on Andy Reid. I think we overreact to too small samples sometimes. You guys are writing off Keenan Allen, and he's going to dunk on you guys for like three.
But I've written off Keenan Allen his entire career. I tried to write him in. I've
made a career out of fading Keenan Allen, and I've made so much money, and I just gave like half of it back today. It's just so agree. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, the part we're doing is not, we're not like recanting this lifelong stance. It's that we had a weak moment. We had a weak moment of mentally weak moment. Yeah. It's just like, what's the point, dude? If Cooper Kupp is going to score 40 points a game, it's just like, what's the point?
I mean, what was it? The 4 weeks ago where Nate was like, Cooper Kupp is Michael Thomas and he's still under 8K.
Oh man, Michael Thomas is back next week, Nate.
I know. But no, I mean, seriously, guys, Cooper Kupp is like just lapping the field. His usage, this is insane. And it's.
No, even the game that, Woods like went nuts. He still had like 13 targets, right?
Oh yeah.
Yes. I mean, like 92. That's the thing. He's like, he's never going to not get hits. His floor is so high and his ceiling is so high. I mean, he's got like 130 expected points or something. He's like 15 to 20 points higher than anybody just from a pure expectation standpoint. He's also been insanely efficient with those expected points, unlike someone like a Hollywood Brown. But I mean, you guys are writing off Keenan Allen. He's still top 10 in like expected points from, like, if you look at target distance, where he's being targeted in the field.
What we're telling you is that it's all a lie, dude. It's all a lie with Keenan Allen.
No, he's going to be on what's his face? He's going to be on Hermsmeyer by low model this week.
Yeah. Well, Hermsmeyer is not well known for buying low on things. Let's be honest.
If we can get it to add Bitcoin to the buy low list, as long as it's under 100,000.
The second Bitcoin becomes on Hermsmeyer buy low, you sell everything. That is the get out signal.
When Hermsmeyer finally goes, what's the thing he always says? Strong convictions weakly held. When he finally shreds his paper hands about Bitcoin, that's when you know we've reached mainstream adoption.
When it's time to sell. I mean, no matter how bad our cash teams did today, they still did not get ruined as bad as Hermsmeyer did on Twitter. Just gotta throw that out.
Well, I don't know. I actually don't. I think his article, the Hermsmeyer 538 article, looks pretty prescient after that result. He basically said it's bullshit that a team can build all their success based on third downs. And what happened?
They got roasted. Honestly. And I mean, FTX Sam, I'm guessing that was the most clicks that article's ever seen. Any article on 538.
Yeah, literally in the history of 538. So who's really the fox here?
Yeah. Josh is drinking some fine wine tonight.
Yeah. He's drinking, well, I actually think Josh's whole thing is to not drink fine wine, right? And to drink $8 wine that tastes as good as fine wine. That's like his bit. I don't know. I don't drink wine. I don't know. But I know that that's a thing. So I don't know. Did we learn anything else other than that apparently Khalil Herbert is the man and Keenan Allen is not the man?
I mean, Khalil Herbert had 50% of his team's like workload. Like, I mean, he just not
carries, workload.
Like, workload total. Like, I mean, he had like three target
touches of the ball.
Yes. Yeah, total offensive share.
Three yards short of the bonus too, of course.
And people did not get punished for fading him because Devontae Adams got 5 points.
Tough.
I can't 90%
of the rushing attempt share and a 12% target share for him.
4.6. Jesus. How did we get jobbed on this slate? Unbelievable.
Because Devontae Adams had this worst game of the year.
Cuck. What a cuck.
Yeah, and you guys got nine. When you pay $9,000 for someone like that, especially when the guy that's slightly cheaper goes for 40, you're screwed. You can't come
back
for that.
And you know what's crazy?
No matter what happens.
So he had this play where he catches the ball up against the sideline and kind of gets knocked by a defender. And like he's going for a touchdown and he steps out a little bit. And it's like, it was the right ruling. Like, I'm not tilting, but I actually think we're so dust and Adams is so expensive that even if he scores, I still think we're dusted. I still think the additional, what would it be like 9 points or whatever for the yardage and for the touchdown doesn't even.
And the bonus, because he ended with 89 yards.
Oh, well, then maybe that probably does.
Nah, Keenan Allen was still so bad, we would have never come back. Yeah.
Well, by the way, I'm going to have to take a look at Amari Cooper's air yards, because this dude was wide ass open. Did you guys see the play that I was talking about where he was wide open and he had the guy beat and Dak just like throws it to no, he threw it to like the hash.
No, I didn't see that one.
So I swap, obviously, which like at least I got to do my favorite thing, right? At least
congrats. I got to swap. When Davis hits the global swap button, just dopamine starts going through your veins.
Yeah, it's the best, dude. You don't get any better than that. But Amari did not get there. CeeDee Lamb did get there with a nice little 40.
Burn. Amari did have 133 air yards, though. I mean, I think that was his best. But two of them
came on the last drive. Like two of his high down the field targets came on the drive where they got the field goal. But Dak just missed him. Like he should have had a touchdown. And Dak just missed him.
He missed him a bunch because Dak threw the ball 51 times and threw for 445 yards, and Amari Cooper went 5 for 55.
Yeah.
Tough.
Well, it's something that you don't particularly love to see, I suppose. All right, you guys got anything else?
No. Send money. Send invites.
Yeah.
Whirling Dervish, Nate N, and Davis.
Yeah, actually, genuinely, do send invites. I don't think I got one invite this week.
I got none this week.
I got zero. So is Mike Davis on the slate next week? Let's get some invites. Come on.
Hold on.
Let's get some action.
I'll tell you. Falcons schedule. They are, and they play at the Dolphins.
Oh God, yes.
Nate is lubing up, dude. They went into the bye week. They got their minds right.
Give me some Mike Davis. Give me some Khalil Herbert. Give me some Keenan Allen. Brandon Cooks.
Right now. Nate is glistening.
Brandon Cooks only got 89 air. Like he literally was 11 yards short of the bonus. I could have dunked even harder on you guys. These volume guys that you guys keep rejecting are just, ugh.
Nate, you rejected Khalil Herbert, who was like the volume play of the slate.
Well, I didn't reject. We talked about it. It was not a play in a vacuum. No, I'm not going to take this. Also, DeAndre Swift like gets 10 targets every game.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift scores a touchdown when they're down 31-0.
Did you hear what Dan Campbell said after the game?
No.
So they were like asking him, right? Because obviously they were getting their ass kicked the entire game. And so they asked him like, you know, something to the effect of like, oh, you know, can you take anything positive out of what your team did in the fourth quarter, right? Because I think DeAndre Swift scores did he score? Yeah, he did. So he scores a touchdown. They target him a bunch, you know, in the fourth quarter. And Campbell's like, no, it was all against a prevent defense. It's literally useless. Like, nothing that we just did in the fourth quarter matters at all, which is, I mean, it's hilarious that why is he keeping DeAndre Swift out there? Why is Jamal Williams or like Jamal Cabina not out there? Like it's, I don't know. If the coach is saying it's worthless, why are all his good players out there?
Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Swift's got 42 targets through six games this season with his talent. Like that's 6K. That workload he's got is unreal.
He averaged 1.8 yards per carry. This is just like a Nate special. Nate loves the sub 2 yard per carry guys.
He really, yeah.
You know why? Because they're valued because the field is inefficient.
If you get 20 carries at less than a yard per carry, that's still almost 2 points, bro.
Davis, he's leading all running backs by like 5 in targets. Well, I guess Najee
tonight.
I wanted
to play Swift last week. I'm with you on Swift. I just am not with it. I mean, I might have played Khalil Herbert straight up over DeAndre Swift, to be honest with you.
Well, I would have if I would have known he was getting 50% of his.
You could have played, bro. You could have played Keenan Allen, and you could have been commiserating with us. You could have played Keenan Allen over Brandon Cooks and been like, "Yeah, this loser." Wouldn't that have been better?
No, the DK balance appreciates my decision making.
I hate it. Forget this show.
All right, send games. We'll be back next week.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.